This week's mailbag comes to us from Michelle. Dear Lisa, I wanted to share with you my thoughts on your latest planning day. I signed up for planning day early on, prior to any of this world craziness. As the pandemic hit and our lives were literally shut down, I didn't give it a second thought. Until about a week before planning day, and I received the email reminding me of it with the Zoom link. I remember looking at the email and thinking, how on earth am I going to plan the next 120 days when I'm having trouble planning the next 120 minutes of my day? Then I thought, well, it'll be nice to have something to do on Saturday and to see you, Lisa. But in the back of my mind, I thought, this is just madness. Then planning day arrived and I sat down and started listening to you, and you started to break down this current planning day. And I thought to myself, wow, this is exactly what I needed right now. I do not have children of my own, nor do I seem to have the busy, hectic life a lot of you that were on the chat have. But as I listened to you make suggestions of what we should do to plan for the summer, I started to making notes for myself. When you mentioned that someone's husband was going to Walmart right then to purchase the pool, I made a quick call to my pool company. Even though it was still super early in May, after listening to you, I decided that I had better get the pool opening scheduled. They were able to schedule me for the very next Saturday. So I decided to text my neighbor and let her know. She said, okay, that's great, but it is still a little early to schedule. I suggested that she should at least give them a call to get on their calendar. I then continued to listen and work through the rest of planning day. I was also able to postpone my 2020 summer vacation, and because I had called so early, they were able to roll my deposit into 2021, which they aren't even booking for yet, but they did book me. So now they can book someone else for my spot in 2020. If it hadn't been for Lisa's planning day and her thoughts on how to handle this summer of 2020 pandemic year of planning, I would never have been able to get my planning done so early and been ahead of the game. Also, my neighbor, she called the pool company a week later when she saw them in my yard opening my pool, and the earliest date they had to open her pool is now the end of June. So many people are installing pools this year that they were all booked up. Had she called when I suggested, she wouldn't have had to wait. It wasn't a typical planning day that we were expecting, but it was so much better and it set me up for an amazing, relaxing summer of 2020. And now I am all set and booked for 2021 and I don't have to worry about that one either. Thank you, Lisa.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. I just recorded a 40-minute podcast for you guys that did not record. And all I have to say is, that is par for the course today. This is not. Oh, have you ever done that? Have you ever like gotten all the way through something and then realized, oh, that didn't record at all, or everything I just did out the door. You know, thanks 2020. That's all I have to say about that. This year has been challenging. Wouldn't you say? It's been a challenging year. It has been a challenging year because it's been unpredictable. It is unplannable. It is unprecedented. It is just an unusual year, and it does not seem to be changing its stripes anytime soon. I want to talk to you today about creating a massive possibilities list and not using a to-do list very much or at all anymore. I'm going to start by reading a letter that Lisa sent to me, an email that Lisa sent to me early in the pandemic. She said, "Hi, Lisa and team. I signed up for the 100-day program and received my planners in the mail yesterday. Thank you so much for getting them out. I also wanted to thank Lisa for her Instagrams. The thoughts that you've been sharing make me feel like we're all in this together, even though right now everything is upside down. I took yesterday off from work, telework, because it was going to be the first full day when I was going to be out of the office. The plan was to figure out how to get the telework done with three teenagers at home with no school or schoolwork. Then the announcement came that school is going to be closed for another month. Luckily, the county is going to start distance learning, so I won't have to try to come up with lessons. Yesterday was a total thinking day for me. I pulled out all the notes of items I've been waiting to work on for my Sunday basket, and the outdoor items I put a sunshine next to them since it was raining. I put together a loose daily plan for myself and the teens, so that way I was able to be sure that everyone was on track and keep some sanity in the home. And since I received the planner, I added in time for my own Lisa school to work on getting ready to fully start the 100-day program on the next round, get all the prep work done, and declutter while it helped me at home. Today was the first full day teleworking with hubby at home. We live in a small townhouse, so we do not have an office. We sat on opposite sides of the dining room table working. It reminded me of the old lawyer's desks that I've seen in movies. Since it's sunny here in Maryland, after I eat lunch, I'm going to tackle some of those items and get some release. Thanks for all you do, Lisa. That was 12 weeks ago. Isn't it amazing? Don't you feel like you've lived a lifetime already in 2020? This has been such a year. I don't even know how to fill in words for that. I have been tired, more tired in the last 15 weeks than I am normally. I've not been sleeping as well as I normally do. Greg and I tried going to bed early. We tried staying up late. We tried napping. We tried all kinds of things, and our sleep cycle is just not working very well for us. A couple of times a week, both of us will find after we've fallen asleep, 5 hours later, we're wide awake, but we're still tired. So now we're awake 90 minutes in the middle of the night. We're not awake together, so I'll do it one night. He'll do it the next night. Do you know that when you are sleeping, that your brain cells literally declutter themselves and reorganize themselves? So if you've ever heard anybody say, I have a big decision to make, so I'm going to sleep on it, that is a good suggestion, because when you are sleeping, your brain cells literally detoxify themselves, they declutter themselves, and then they reorganize the information that you've heard during the day into more organized files. And you'll wake up in the morning, you go, oh, I know exactly what I need to do. Or, oh, the solution to that problem is this. Or, oh my gosh, you can't even believe I didn't think about how that would relate to this. And I'm so glad I took some time to sleep on it and think about it. Our brains are processing so much change in such a short amount of time that I'm just surmising that my brain is tired. It's just tired from the amount of everything has to be thought about now. You don't realize how much processing time you did on your commute if you used to drive before. The routines that we had in place, the habits that we had in place before March of 2020 really set up a routine and a flow to our life so that the big things that we had to make decisions on used all of our decision-making power. Now, we're trying to figure out still to this day, how do we get Lysol wipes and toilet paper? And what are we going to do about fall school? And are we going to work from home anymore? And, our employees need to take their temperature before they come into the office. So remember to take your temperature and text that in the morning. And do you have a mask in the car? And all these different things that we didn't have to do before. So this month, what I want to do on the podcast is I want to deep dive into a couple of areas. One, I want to talk about today about how to create a massive possibilities list and move from to-do list thinking to more chunking and bigger oriented ideas. Then next week, I'm going to talk to you about decluttering for fall productivity. I've talked about decluttering before, but now that we're in a pandemic and we're using our houses different than we have in the past, I want to talk about some specific things that you can declutter. And then the week after that, we'll talk about how are we going to plan our space for this pandemic living. Until there's a cure or a vaccine, we are, not necessarily in control of how much we can do outside of our home, but we do have more control over what we can do inside of our home. And so now that the spring is over, we're in the middle of the summer, were there some things that would have been better in your house had you had them put in place in the spring? We'll talk about that. And then lastly, we'll talk about too much time or too little time. How do you make time work for you? I often quote Laura Vanderkam, 168 hours, you have more time than you think. You can get so much done. And then other times you think, oh my gosh, I end up at the end of the day with no extra time. How am I mismanaging my time that I don't have this extra time? I'm either so bored I don't know what to do, or so overwhelmed I don't know how I'm going to get it all done, and there's no in-between. I used to have in-between days, but the last 15 weeks, no in-between days. I'm either totally overwhelmed with too much to do or bored and have no idea what I'm going to do next. So we're going to talk about all of those things. Today, we're going to start with the massive possibilities list. A couple of weeks ago, I had a weekend where I went through and I shared on Instagram everything I did for the weekend. So I got up, I showed you my list, I tackled something on my list, I moved to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And about halfway through that weekend, I said, you know, this is not a to-do list, this is a possibilities list. And some of you said, please explain more. And so today, I'm going to explain more. First of all, you know, I don't have a to-do list. I got rid of a to-do list a couple of years ago. All of my actionable to-dos go into the Sunday basket. There are things I have to do every weekend, laundry, bills, pills, all these things. I do have to-dos. I've just bulked them together in the Sunday basket and I do them all at one time. Let's think about, where did the to-do list originally come from? Where did that concept come from? And how are we currently using a to-do list in our house? So when I think about a to-do list, where did I originally get the idea of creating a to-do list? When was I ever successful doing a to-do list that did not become an unending things I haven't done yet list and things I feel like I need to get done before I'm allowed to take any time for myself list? It would have been all the way back when I was in school. You get home from school at the end of the day and you're allowed to make a snack and you need to get your homework done. And there was a little list there for me of chores I needed to do after school. And it would have 1 to 5 things on it. It never had more than 5 things, but always had at least one thing on it. You know, change the laundry, do the dishes, feed the dog, and then you're allowed to do whatever you want when your homework is done. You probably remember having some kind of a list like that as well. So those are the kind of to-do lists I would make for my kids. You know, hey, can we go get ice cream and go to the pool? Sure, but I want you to do these couple of things first. Make your bed, take all your laundry downstairs and do this, and then get in the car. Okay, great, your to-do list is done. The only time your to-do list has ever been done in your entire life was when you were a child and your parent was making it for you, because we make realistic to-do lists for our children. We do not make realistic to-do lists for us. Look at your to-do list. My to-do list, when I stopped using one, was like three legal pad pages full of to-dos. It was like 84 items. I was never going to get all that done. And when do you use a to-do list? How much time does a to-do list take? So during the day, you work. And your work is whatever you spend the majority of your Monday through Friday daytime doing. It may be homeschooling, volunteering, taking care of your grandchildren, doing a corporate job, direct sales, whatever it is. You have work. You have work that you do during the day. Then, before you go to bed, you have personal time. For me, it's a puzzle sometimes. It's always a hot bath, maybe a TV show. I scroll Instagram. I read the news, that kind of thing. Things that are only for me, social, just for me. In between your work and your personal time for yourself, you put this to-do list in there. But your to-do list has 89 things on it. So you get work done and you come home, you're like, all right, I need to make dinner. I'm going to change the laundry. All right, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. And you keep going back to this to-do list, right? Oh, I'm going to check one more thing off. Or if it's not a to-do list, it's your email. Oh, I'll just check the email. All right, I'll just answer this one email. Oh, another email came in. Okay, I'll just answer this real quick. That's my thing. And I end up doing email for 2 hours at night because we don't give ourselves any. Email is never going to stop. The to-do list is never going to be done. So if you don't give yourself a limit, I'll find myself sitting at the computer for 3 hours doing email. And Greg says, I thought you weren't going to work tonight. Oh, well, I was just going to check email. And next thing you know, I've been sitting here for 3 hours, right? Or you go over to your to-do list. You're like, I'm just going to get one thing done on the to-do list. And then you cross it off and you're ready to go upstairs or go do whatever you want to do. Sit on the back patio, read a book, whatever your thing is. And when you go to cross that thing off on that to-do list, you look and you see 15 other things on the to-do list. And you think, oh, you know what? If I just take 5 more minutes to do one more thing, then I won't have to do that tomorrow. So you scan the to-do list and you pick something and you start doing that thing. It actually takes you 20 minutes. You get done with that and you're like, well, while I'm already here, I'll do the dishes. While I'm already here, I'll do this. Next thing you know, an hour and a half has gone by and you've crossed 3 more things off your to-do list. Now you don't have any time to do a puzzle or read. You didn't get any downtime for yourself, and you did not get your to-do list done, right? So now you not only didn't get to do the social thing you wanted to do, but you also don't have the satisfaction of a done to-do list. You just crossed a few more things off of a never-ending list. The Sunday basket is designed to hold all of those things that maybe need to get done, and then pull out only the things that have to get done on a true to-do list. Like, your to-do list should be like, the dog has to get his flea and tick medicine tonight, or he cannot go to daycare tomorrow so I can record more podcasts. That has to get done. That's a to-do. Everything else on that list, probably if you're not doing it till the next day or the next day, then it's not a to-do. It's a possibility. It's a possibility of how you may or may not spend your time, depending on your energy level and whatever else comes your way. And the more you can keep those items in the Sunday basket and not in front of you on an actionable to-do list, the more you will be able to go to work, come home, eat dinner, do, you know, 3 to 5 to-dos, and then at 6, 7, or 8 o'clock at night, look at that little index card that has a couple of things crossed off on it and be like, my to-do list is done. I'm now allowed to take time for myself. It may be 5 hours. Good for you. Read a novel. Listen to an audiobook, go for a walk, call your mom. Like, you're allowed to have personal time for yourself every single day, and it could be 5 hours worth of time. It can. And the more you do that, when you're able, and I would say maybe I'm able to give myself that quantity of personal time 2 times a week. Like, it's not every night that I spend that much personal time. I try to always give myself an hour. But a couple of times, I will get 3 to 5 hours, and it is heavenly, and it is glorious. And I used to feel guilty and feel like, oh, that's a lot of time. Maybe there's something else I could do. You know what? There is always something else you could do. But it doesn't mean there's always something else you should do. So that is a to-do list. Sorry about the little rant on the to-do list. But I don't think, everything out there I've ever personally seen about to-do lists, and I'd love for you to give me feedback if you know others, everything I've seen about to-do lists is how to become more productive with your to-do list, how to put more items on your to-do list, how to make recurring tasks on your to-do list, how to get more done in less time. No one ever says just get rid of the whole thing. This is what I'm saying. You're never going to be done. We are never going to be done with our house. The laundry's never going to be done. The dishes are never going to be done. The house is never going to be perfect. The to-do list is never going to be done. So if you're waiting for this to be done for you to be able to read a book a week, it's not going to happen. Start reading a book a week and then taking the things off of your to-do list that are essential and really matter and get those done and start, you know, doing the things that lift you up and make you come alive. So that leads us to the possibilities list. The possibilities list are all of the things that you would put on a to-do list that really don't have a deadline. They're more aspirational or just really, not necessarily aspirational, but like, I did the tower garden, now I need to take the tower garden down. It's going to take a while to clean it out and put it away and all of those things, like maybe 2 hours. Who has 2 hours to take a tower? Nobody. So mine sat out there for like 3 weeks in a row. And then finally I was like, oh, well, now's the time to take it down. Now I'm just going to be totally truthful with you. It sat out there for 3 weeks. I took all of the plants out. I took the whole stem down. I undid the entire tower garden. And then the deck people came the next day and I had not finished emptying out the big bottom and cleaning that out. That was 3 weeks ago. It's still sitting outside. And I am still alive and you are still listening to my podcast because making sure I record this podcast and get this out is way more important than making sure that my tower garden got cleaned out and put away after I'd lost interest in it. Now, Abby's going to have a graduation party and I am going to get that cleaned up and out of our backyard before all these people show up at my house, but it will be 7 weeks after I decided I was no longer doing the tower garden. And I tell you that because I think you think that, oh, Lisa decided not to do the tower garden, so I'm sure she took that apart, cleaned it up, and put it perfectly away in the basement. No, she did not. She did not at all. And she keeps walking by the tower garden, and I don't even feel guilty anymore. I have learned not to feel guilty when my stuff talks back to me and says, you should put me away. You should clean me. You should. And I look at them. And I go, thank you very much. I will get to you in a couple of weeks. I've got to prepare for Embrace. I've got to record a couple podcasts. I need to go up and record my audiobook. I need to go move Joey. I have things that are more important than cleaning and putting you away, Tower Garden. I will get to you in a little bit because I'm going to prioritize. Your possibilities list is how you could spend your time if you wanted to spend your time working on your home. And your possibilities list doesn't have to be about your home. I have a possibilities list for the book tour that eventually, someday in this century, I will take. It will not be this fall, apparently, but I will have one. I've been making this possibilities list of this book tour for over 10 years, since before I even had the mindset of organization book. I wrote about having a book tour in 2008, when I came out with the ABCs of the Bible, when I didn't even have an audience, I wanted to have a book tour for that. I want to get in an RV and travel the country, people. I want to have a book tour. I have pricing on how you would wrap an RV, like so that you saw me coming down the highway. This vision of the book tour is so big in my head, somebody's going to have to hold me down like with weights because my little body is going to float up like a helium balloon. I'm so excited about eventually, someday, hitting the road and traveling all over the United States and eventually the world and just meeting all of you in person. Like, I could just see it in my head. And I thought for sure it was going to be right now. But apparently, it is not. Now, I got far enough on this book tour dream that I have, I think, 45 slash buckets. Separated out by color, by regions of the United States, by cities that I was going to visit, with all of your book tour forms in there, plus local media contacts and authors that live in those cities. And I mean, it's evolved, you guys. This possibilities portable Sunday basket with 45 slash pockets is awesome. And someday it will be reality, but not now. So I set that over to the side. I tried to help you if you were in planning day back in April, go through and make a possibilities list for a pandemic 2020 summer. And I had you think about who was in your house and if the pools didn't open and if we weren't able to go to amusement parks and if your child's camp didn't open and if restaurants weren't open yet and if you didn't need to get to take your annual vacation and if you couldn't play sports this summer, what would still make this a good summer for you? And we started making, and I started building the possibilities list with you. What if you got an above ground pool? Who cares if we kill the grass? We can grow the grass back next year. What if you got a slip and slide? What if you got a $30 fire pit and you made s'mores and hot dogs and camped in your backyard? What if, and I just kept giving all these ideas. What if this? What if this? What if this? Some that cost no money, some that cost a lot of money, but they were all different possibilities of things in 2019 you would have never thought that you would do at home in a summer, but this year in 2020 you would. A whole list of possibilities. And that is actually the brain dump. That's a brain dump when you write down all the things that are possible without filtering yourself at all. So sorry, this is the brain dump. Some of you have asked me to explain in the planner what a brain dump is. So if you remember back to fourth grade or sixth grade English class, and the teacher would say to you, I am going to have you get out a piece of paper, a couple of pieces of paper, and I'm going to set the timer for 5 minutes. And the only rule is you cannot stop writing. So you have to just write whatever comes to your mind and just keep free flow writing. And when you do this free flow writing, more and more and more ideas come to you. It's kind of like the Sunday basket. Just write something down on index cards and you get it all out of your brain. Well, in this case, we're doing it on a specific task. So a pandemic summer, all the things that you could do in a staycation. So this is how I created mine. I made a brain dump and I went through my Sunday basket and all my 2.0 project slash pockets of all the things I could possibly do in this house. After having been in this house for 11 weeks with Greg working from home, I couldn't stand the carpet anymore. We've been talking about getting a deck for 20 years. I've had an estimate for 3 years. I had an estimate on carpet for 3 years. I was like, you know what? If I could do everything, I would do a deck. I would do carpet. I would repaint this. I would fix this. I would, you know, and I just made a whole huge brain dump list of all the things that if I could, I would fix about this house. And then I realistically went through that brain dump list and talked to Greg about, what do you think? What do you think about new carpet? What do you think about the deck? And crazily, we said yes to both. They're not inexpensive things, but you know what? We've lived in this house 24 years. Most of our friends have moved 3, 4, 5 times. Every couple of years, they move to a different house. We have lived in the same house for 24 years. We're not moving, so we invested in new carpet. We got the rest of the carpet cleaned, and we got a deck. It's cheaper than even just packing up this house and moving it, let alone buying another house. And so I justified those things. I said, you're right, we're not going to move. And we do have the money saved. And I'm tired of looking at this old carpet. And I'm tired of our porch furniture not fitting on the deck. Now we're almost done with the deck. I really should, you know, like just even use some string to show how big the deck was going to be before we had it built. It's huge. The deck is huge. I'm so excited that we did it though. So in order to do that, to get the carpeting and move all the things I needed to move for the carpeting and prepare for the deck guy and the carpet cleaner, and I'm sure I added in other people in there, I decided to take a week off of work. So I quasi worked and I quasi didn't work, and it was a staycation week. And I took my list, my brain dump list, and everything I've had in my Sunday basket for years. And I was like, all right, this is the amount of money we're going to spend. This is the amount of time I have. How many of these to-dos can I get done out of my Sunday basket? And I made a gigantic possibilities list. And included in those big projects that were going to involve carpet layers and deck builders and all of that, I also pulled out in my staycation week, what are the things that I have been delaying in my Sunday basket that I want done, like taking down the tower garden, which was a recent acquisition and a recent taking apart, but also things like, okay, I want to clean out the garage. I want to move around furniture. So we actually took some of the furniture out of the basement and moved it to Joey's new apartment, and he moved apartments. And then we went and for Abby's graduation, let her pick out new furniture and ordered that and had that delivered. And we had her carpets cleaned and we cleaned out all of her stuff. So all these big projects that I've wanted to do for a long time went from a brain dump list to a possibilities list. And then the week that I took off work, the weekend and the week that I took off work, I did not say on Monday I'm going to do this and on Tuesday I'm going to do this and on Wednesday I'm going to do this. I did know what days the carpet cleaners were coming and the carpet layers and all of that and the preparation I needed to do. But then I went back to my possibilities list, the energy level that I had with how what kind of disorder my house was in. I was like, you know what? This is a great day for me to focus on the laundry room because I can't get into any other spaces in my house. All right, I'm going to do laundry. I'm going to clean out the washing machine. I'm going to declutter the laundry room. I'm done with this. Back to the possibilities list. Oh, good. They're done with my bedroom. All right, I'm going to go through my closet. I'm going to go through all these things. Da-da. Okay, go back to the possibilities list. And on the possibilities list, at the end of my staycation week, not everything was done. Not everything was done. It wasn't a to-do list. It was a possibilities of lists of things I might get done. Now, a lot did get done because, I mean, the carpet was definitely going to get laid. The deck is definitely going to get built because we paid to have those done. But for yourself, you are, the currency you're using is time and energy, not money. So for yourself, like for example, I bought all of the components. You're going to laugh. I'm laughing. I went to Ace Hardware with my mask on and I talked to James. And he explained to me how simple it would be if I followed a YouTube video in order to change out all of the components inside of my toilet so my toilet would stop running. My toilet has been running for 2 months. I bought this from James 2 months ago. That has been on the possibilities list that whole time. It has not risen to the top of the possibilities list, and I'm pretty much to the point where I'm pretty sure I'm going to call a plumber and just have them do it. And I'm not going to do it at all. And that is totally fine. You can move something from a possibilities list off and you never do it. You can move it from a possibilities list to you're going to hire it out. Right now, what we're doing is just turning off the water to that toilet. That seems to also be an answer to our possibilities list. So the difference between a possibilities list and a to-do list. A to-do list really should be 3 to 5 things that you want to get done today. Should just fit on an index card. When I make my index card for the day, I start by going through my calendar. I write at the top, Instagram, because I want to say hi to you every morning. And then under Instagram, I put coffee. And then under coffee, then I write out my schedule from my calendar, like when do I have meetings? I put my meetings on there. And then if I have space in between meetings, how do I plan on spending that time? Am I recording a podcast? Like, what am I doing that is not forward facing with someone else? And then at the end of the day, after I'm done with my list of everything I'm going to do, I usually put 1 to 3 to-do list items. You know, call the vet, do this, do that, whatever. I don't then make another list of 25 things I do because I've worked all day. I only have room to do, you know, 1, 2, or 3 things. And then when that index card is done, I get out my index card and I make it for tomorrow. And then I go run my bath and I talk to Greg and I do my puzzle and I go to bed. And it's okay. It's a full day. I will start the next day tomorrow. So I hope this helps you with the difference between a possibilities list and a to-do list. How to organize your day from your work time to your to-do list time to your personal time. And also the idea of making a brain dump, like writing down every possible thing you might want to do. And then you can always store that list in the Sunday basket. I have some Slash Pockets that have different lists of things I want to do, like books I want to read and things I want to remodel around the house. And it's feeling really, really good getting a lot of these things checked off my list. So if you have been like me, and you've been quarantined at home, which is all of us, right? And you're like, if I have to look at these baseboards, I remember this. When Joey was a baby, and you know, we adopted Joey, we got him basically in the middle of the night. And then I'm feeding him these bottles. And he drank like, I don't know, 2 ounces every 2 hours for forever. And he spit most of it up. Poor little guy. Had a hard time with bottle feeding. But I was feeding him all the time. And I remember just sit, no matter what room I would sit in and I would rock him, I would look at the baseboards and they all needed to be painted. You know how when your baseboards all need to be painted? And then a little over a year later, when we were expecting to adopt Abby, a couple of weeks before she was born, I said to myself, oh no, 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 no. I am not going to go through another 6 months of feeding a baby bottles and looking at unfinished baseboards. And I set out to paint every single baseboard that we had in our entire house. And I did. I got them all painted before Abby was born and came to join our family. That's what I'm talking about. What is the thing, you know what it is already, that you're like, oh my goodness, I just need to paint the ceiling. Like if I could just paint the ceiling, or if I could just get a bigger monitor, like my monitor is so small, or our internet is just not good enough for having this many people home. If we could just increase our internet speed or get a new router or get a new modem or whatever it is you need to do, what are some of these things that would make this pandemic living at home, which is the only place that we're really in control right now, a little bit easier for you? All right. Yep, I'm looking. Looks like this one actually recorded. So I'll be back with you guys next week. And I'm going to talk to you about decluttering, but we're going to talk about it a little bit differently now that we are in this COVID situation. Have a great week.